Friends, will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. Oh God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So my best friend's youngest is 3 years old, and her name is Alina. And she is full of heart and creativity and life and joy and so very much herself. The other week, entirely unprompted, she ripped up a drawing her big sister had made. And when her mom asked her why, she said, "I just really wanted to break something." Perfect. I got to go on vacation with her and her family a couple of weeks ago. We went camping in Provincetown, and her favorite thing to do the entire trip was have a sulk. No, she wasn't actually having a sulk. She was delighted the entire time it was happening. But the game she wanted to play with me day or night was have a sulk. And the way having a sulk works is that you frown as hard as you can, and then you stomp to the nearest tree or picnic table or tarp, because it was raining most of the time. And then you get there and you cross your arms and you eyebrow up your eyebrows and you pout real hard. And you're having a sulk. And you have a sulk right up until the moment that you make eye contact with the other person having a sulk. And then you grin your face off and you run back to where everyone else is hanging out so you can do it all again. Wonderful. Having a sulk. She invented it herself. She made the whole thing up, and she invited me to play with her. And so all week, whether we were on the banks of the Charles or in a campsite in the rain or on the beach or in the shark museum, she would come up to me and say, "Auntie Rachel, want to have a sulk?" And I would say, "Of course." Now I'll let you all in on a secret. I did not always want to have a sulk. I was tired and a little grumpy and wet from the rain and pretty cold. And honestly, if what I was thinking about was just what I would prefer, the thing I would do is give up on camping, book a hotel room, take a hot bath, and then have a nap. But I love Alina, and any time with her is a gift. And so when she asks Auntie Rachel, "Do you want to have a sulk?" the answer is yes. Because seconds and minutes and moments with her as she grows into herself, into the wonderful person that she is made to be, are some of the best seconds and minutes and moments in the world. Because I love her. And by some miracle, she loves me. It is such a wild gift to me that she loves me. Formally, genetically, I am nothing to her. I'm her mom's best friend. But for some wonderful reason, she loves me, and she wants to teach me the games that she's made up, and she wants to go for piggyback rides on my shoulders, and if I put my hand like this, she puts her hand in mine. Miracle. Blessing on blessing on blessing. Love. And so I will have a sulk with her as long as she'll let me. No matter how tired or grumpy or wet or cold I am, I'll go where she will go. I'll be her people. I will laugh with her and weep with her and do my very best to help her keep becoming the human she is, fearfully and wonderfully made, because I love her. Because how do you not love a person who rips up their sister's art and then tells you, "I just needed to break something"? I start here. I start with a story about Alina, because the thing this scripture wants to communicate so badly that it literally ruined 3 other draft sermons on a different topic is that God loves us. Loves us. Loves us so much that when they come back to dwell with us for all eternity, they come back with a city. It ends in a city, not because God loves a city, but because we love a city. Because cities are sites of human becoming, and God loves nothing more than to be with us as we become who we are, fearfully and wonderfully made. You're feeling a little intrigued and maybe a little bit confused? Great. Let's go to the videotape. And by the videotape, I mean the entire scope of the Bible. We'll start in Genesis. When God plans their first vacation with humanity, they plan neither to be cold and wet on the Cape nor to be blinded by the lights of Times Square. When God is planning for God's preferences, God makes a garden, makes fish and birds and plants and animals, and sets us up for flourishing as farmers. And we biff it almost immediately. There is one tree we cannot eat the fruit from, and we basically trip over ourselves in our rush to eat of it. Adam can't help himself. He just really needed to break something. And so we end up out of the garden in the rest of the world, and we immediately biff that too. We pick violence. God grieves they ever made us and wipes out all of humanity but one family in a flood. Because that time, I guess, God really needed to break something. And then we try again. We get enslaved. God rescues us. We complain. We ask for laws. God gives us laws. We break them. We ask for judges. God gives us judges. We ignore them. We ask for kings. God gives us kings. We give them too much power and get conquered. We ask for prophets. God gives us prophets. We don't listen to them. We ask for a Messiah. God sends his son. We kill him. Over and over and over and over, we say, "Want to have sulk?" to God. And God says, "Of course." And then we just want to break something. And then we say, "Want to have a sulk?" And God says, "Of course." Not because having a sulk is their preference or the very best thing anyone has ever done, but because they love us so much. They long to dwell with us so badly that they will have a sulk or make some tablets made of stone or take the form of a cloud or squish their feet into our temples or send us Jesus to live among us so that we might not perish but have eternal life. And we just keep really wanting to break things. Not because we're evil, not because we mean to, just because we're in the midst of becoming. And becoming is a long journey. That brings us back to cities. God and cities. Cities as sites of becoming. Cities as places we go to turn into who we long to be. When I say New York, what do you think of? If you make it here, you can make it anywhere. It's the concrete jungle. Pardon?
City never sleeps.
City that never sleeps. It's a concrete jungle where dreams are made of. It is waiting for you. Cities. Cities are where we go and where we're from isn't the right fit. Cities are where we go when we need to become who we are more than we can bear. Humans are drawn to cities, like compasses are drawn to true north. They're where we go to figure out who we are, where we can meet new people and try new things and reach out and grasp and grow into ourselves, where people, especially people who are pushed to the margins of their hometowns, can really get a chance to bloom. You see, God wasn't wrong when they formed us in a garden. For there is growing to be done. But humans, we seem to like to grow in a city. And so when God comes back to be with their people, our God, the one with the preferential option for those pushed to the margins, when God comes back with a new heaven and a new earth for an eternal game of having a sulk with their very favorite, which is to say all of us people, God comes back with a city. The home of God is among mortals. God will dwell with them, and they will be God's people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Not because God loves a city, but because by some miracle for God, seconds and minutes and moments with us as we grow into ourselves, into the wonderful people that we are made to be, are some of the best seconds and minutes and moments there are. And God longs to wipe every tear from our eyes and save us from any pain and dwell with us for all time. So why does it matter? Why does it matter that someday, generations from now, God will come back with a city that's 12,000 stadia long, with a Manhattan that stretches from Lawrence, Massachusetts to Miami, Florida? It matters because the scope of the whole Bible, the whole plot of the whole story that is God and their people, is a story of love over and over and over again. Love that says, of course. Love that reshapes the cosmos. Love that is always reaching out its hand for you to grasp it. That's the love God has for you, for me, for all of us. That's the love that surrounds us all the time. Remember what it is like when a child takes your hand. Remember what it is like to be a child and take the hand of a trusted adult. That's the love God has for you. Imagine what your life would be like if you felt the truth of that all the time. Imagine how all of our lives would change if we felt the truth of God's love for even an hour, even a minute of every day. How much braver we might be, how much more fiercely ourselves, how much more generous, how much more open-hearted we could be if only we could believe we were loved. We are loved. That's the whole plot. That's the whole story. Love. God's people and God. Love. We always becoming and God always there with a hand held out, waiting for us to grasp it. That's it. Love. May we come to live like it is so. Amen.